What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Yo,
don't interrupt the groove.
Oh, sorry, that's on me.
Interruption.
Today it's nothing but sappy love songs on the Dana and Parks program in honor of Valentine's Day. That is, you're the inspiration from Chicago. SNL celebrating its 50th anniversary this weekend.
Yes, tonight is the concert, the 3-hour live concert.
So all this week, USA Today is out with, you know, the best actors they've ever had, best sketches. Today we bring to you the top 10 best musical performances on Saturday Night Live.
I'm guessing Sinead O'Connor is not part of that.
Sinead O'Connor is in the top 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She did the song War.
Good God, then, y'all.
And then ripped up a picture of?
The Pope.
Pope John Paul II.
Mm-hmm. Always a good look.
Mm-hmm. Very controversial. A couple of other obvious
nowadays ones.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Who I'm hard-pressed
to. Yeah, this is going to be hard. This is the hardest one all week.
Okay.
So we'll go in order. Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
Yep.
Doing Radio in 1977.
The story behind that is he was not supposed to do that song and stopped what he was playing cold and said, hey, I want to play this song instead. And it threw everyone off.
That is correct. He was supposed to play Less Than Zero, stopped, and said, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but there is no reason to do this song here. And then he busted into Radio.
Live.
That is correct.
Yes.
David Bowie, The Man Who Sold the World in 1979.
That video, the clip of that, has been going around social media quite a bit in recent months. Really good performance.
Number 8, Sinead O'Connor with War in 1992, in which she ripped up a picture, as we mentioned, of Pope John Paul II. It was horribly controversial at the time. U2's I Will Follow in 2004.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Adele singing Chasing Pavements in 2008.
That was before Adele was Adele. That was really her first.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
That was her first like big breakthrough in the States.
Miley Cyrus with Mark Ronson singing Happy Christmas in 2018.
Did not see that one coming. Don't remember it.
Taylor Swift, All Too Well in 2021.
Okay.
It was a 10-minute performance block.
Oh, that's where she skewered all of her exes. I do remember that.
And is the local entertainment celebrity from Missouri on this list?
No.
She's not?
You're talking about Sheryl Crow?
No.
Melissa
Chapel
Etheridge.
Roan.
Oh, Melissa Etheridge?
Chapel Who? Roan.
Chapel Roan. I didn't know she was semi-local.
She's from Springfield.
Yep. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Springfield native.
Really? Yeah. Chapel Roan is number 1.
Oh.
Whoa.
Are you for real?
Pink Pony Club?
That's right. November of last year.
Huh.
Number 1.
I was blown away at that performance. I will give you that. That's props, Chaperone.
She's quite the performer.
Props, Mama.
By the way, that performance is when half of America learned that her name is Chapel and not Chappelle.
Correct.
Right.
So you're going to do something called sound bathing.
That is my Valentine's Day present to myself this weekend. And all, both of you, I don't know if, Dan, do you know what sound bathing is?
I can make some guesses.
Let's all find our inner chakras.
Climb into like a 70s egg chair with speakers inside.
No, you lay down.
As I begin, and take a few performs. Deep breaths.
For many people, including myself, it is a meditative experience.
Inhale
and exhale, where people lie down and they listen to resonant sounds.
Oh, like, my God, that sound is going to make me want to take a hostage.
Stop it.
Exhale.
Well, at least it's not the brown note.
It's like, you know, gongs and singing bowls and tuning forks, and you lie down in this relaxing position, and my very, very weird friend, Angela Holmes, who I love to pieces.
Why is she weird? I love this.
I do, too. But to the layman, what she does is kind of odd and quirky. But, you know, this sound bathing, it's been, you know, part of meditative practices for thousands of years.
Why not get a massage? It sounds like the same music they play at the masseuse.
It's similar. Yeah.
Okay, well,
at least
I know,
get a massage out of that.
All I know is that when I go in and I and I sound bathe, well, you're only hearing one part of it. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Well, let me fast forward.
Do you provide your own soap or do...
There's no actual bathing now.
No, there's no bathing. Anyway,
you just lay there and listen.
The sounds sort of wash over you and they create these vibrations that help you relax while you're in there.
Your chakra?
And sort of. And people report, I know I do, when I leave, I am calmer, I am less stressed, I'm more relaxed.
Oh, you've done it before.
I've done it several times, but this one is a big one. It's at the Sundry on Sunday, so it's from 12 to 2, so you can get your sound bathing on if you'd like
to. Are you by yourself, or are there multiple people?
It's a group. This one is kind of like a two-hour one where it's like a lot of, you know, meditative practice. It's not just laying there for 2 hours while gongs and...
nap.
Yeah. It's, but anyway.
Well, what do you do other than lay there? I'm not making fun of you. Not yet. Will in a minute. But what do you do there for 2 hours?
It's a chance to relax and commune with your fellow brethren. And you just,
do you talk?
No, not really. You just listen and there's chanting and.
It's more of a meditative state.
Yeah.
You just be.
You harmonize with your heart and your chakras, and it just sort of aligns where your energy is. So
let
the sound wash over you.
Well, and Scott, we talked about it when Dana left that one day to go to the group. I can't remember what exactly they called that event, but it was essentially a sound bathing event. And we talked about the healing frequencies and all of the frequencies that are found in nature that we don't get anymore because we're constantly dealing with the buzz of the city. I mean, if you think that there
that
is
sounds
silence,
like a buzz to me.
Yeah, but it's a healing buzz.
You need to find bowls. This is
Sound bathing, meditation, bowls. All right.
You need to find bowls. It's more gongs and bowls than it is just.
Okay, I'm working on it.
Well, good job. And no, 0941, you do not get a discount if you're hard of hearing.
What?
That is funny. I see what you did there. But it's just a bit, it's nurturing, it's releasing, I don't know, there's just a good connection with the people in the room. And I know it sounds really weird and woo-woo, but you'd like
it
to.
It allows you to also just stop.
It shuts your brain off.
Shuts your brain down.
The minute that those gongs, those bowls, those chime bowls start hitting, I'm out. Yeah, that.
There you go.
That. Gone. I'm out for an hour and a half. Just, it's so soothing to me.
Okay, how much does it cost?
I think the sound bathing on Sunday is $50 for 2 hours. It's called Harmonic.
That's actually cheaper than I thought it would be.
Harmonic Heart Activation. And like I said, it's with my gal pal Angela Holmes, and it's this Sunday.
Well, and they play
at the Sundry KC, if you'd like to join me.
They play a series of frequencies in a specific order to get a certain relaxation out of you.
Yeah.
It's not randomized. These are things that have been studied for millennia.
So they've done research on it.
A certain chime will hit your, you know, heart chakra. A certain chime will hit your third eye. A certain...
Your what?
Your third eye. Anyway, just...
Uh-huh. The one right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The soft spot between your eyeballs.
The thing is, if it all works the way that it's promoted, excellent. Or... if it doesn't do everything, but you get a chance to just
zen out,
chill, and meditate, and calm yourself, well, hey, there you go.
From the text line, I didn't know what was going on. I thought a car outside had bad brakes or something.
I get it. I will say it can be kind of polarizing, and if you that ringing in your ears, it's a real thing. I get it.
Well, somebody wrote, I have tinnitus. It is killing me right now. All right.
And if these bowls don't work, the sound bowls, well, you can always do some different bowls.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not talking.
Like
we're
a bowl
not,
of cereal.
We're not.
Yes, of course. A bowl of cereal.
Oatmeal. Right. Yeah. Oatmeal's good for you.
Very good for you.
Well, I'm going because it cultivates this sense of unity and healing and all the things, and I really am into it, and I don't have enough good things to say about it. But
this sounds like very South Asian or East Asian to me.
Absolutely. But it is not for everybody. My friend Casey, bless her heart, she lasted all of 15 minutes, and she said it was the worst thing she had ever done, and she got up and left. And so I have to respect that.
You have to be able to quiet your mind. If you are not one of those people that can quiet your mind, it's not going to be for you.
Dan, I think you, with your low dulcet tones, I think you would be a perfect moderator. Because even when you were like, and let's breathe,
so they talk during this.
Yeah, it's guided. It's guided meditation. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
How do you know? Have you been?
No, well, I just know all about this because my girlfriend is very into Eastern medicine, yoga, the whole nine.
Huh.
Welcome to sound bathing.
She is a Reiki practitioner.
Dan, I'd let you read me the phone book, man.
Aw, that's very kind, actually.
Dan, I'd let you read off the back of his cereal box.
Can you tell that he's... manufacturing the voice that he is talking right now.
But he's got a waxed mustache, and I kind of dig it.
Riboflavin. Malodextrin.
913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Happy Valentine's Day. As we play nothing but sappy little love songs, this one's Meatloaf.
Also...
do anything for love, but I won't do that.
You won't do that, Scott.
We haven't figured that out yet, Sam, what that is that he won't do.
I have
a sneaking suspicion.
I know. Just for the record, dear listeners, there will be no more sound bathing because you guys lost your ever-loving minds when I started playing gongs. The text line lit up.
They did not like that.
They did not. It was a revolt.
Well, it might sound a little different when it's coming through the radio speakers.
That sounds like my brakes are about to explode.
Yeah, Dan, this is from the text line, too. When are you ever going to bring in your French horn?
When everybody is back.
It's been over a week.
It has. Dana needs to be here, too.
So will you bring the French horn in on...
sound bathe her.
On Monday, will you bring in your French horn?
Yes.
And entertain the crowds?
I will do that. Monday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Something to look forward to.
George in Atchison. George, hello.
Hi, George.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. Have you ever heard of a float tank?
I have, George.
I've heard of a float trip.
It's a little different.
Well, that's on the back of the toilet, right?
I'm a big fan of float tanks, George.
It's a sensory deprivation chamber.
Yes. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, it took me 40 years to get in one.
Well, George, can you explain what a float tank is?
Yeah, it's a... basically, a sound-insulated tub where your senses are basically deadened. By getting in it, you don't hear anything, and the water temperature is about your body temperature, and there's Epsom salts, I believe, in it that help you float.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so you're basically... as you lay in it, you don't really feel or hear anything, and during the time you're in it, interesting things can happen.
Like what?
Well, for me, I was in the tank for an hour, and it wasn't near long enough for me. But I did when the music came back on to let me know time was up, and the lights came back on to let me know time was up, I didn't hear or see any of that until the pumps came on and started pushing me around the tank.
Like you were so into it or so out of it.
Conscious.
Yeah, you were semi, yep. You were in the zone,
it basically
George.
Basically put me in an altered state of consciousness.
So you weren't asleep. You were in a different state.
Yes.
And you know for a fact that you were not asleep?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Would you do it again, George?
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
How much does a float tank cost for 1 hour?
I don't remember.
I think it was
it's
about
been
a
too long since I've been in one again.
George, I feel like you should go back to it. I think they're about $100.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I'd have to go for 2 hours this time because the 1 hour was nowhere near long enough for me.
Huh.
And I've been interested in it since the movie Altered States came out, which was 40 years ago.
Well, good for you, George, for doing self-care. I'm a firm believer that self-care is the best care.
So, George, you could buy a float tank for $33,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, you can build one for about four or less.
Floating KC is a float tank company here in the metro. A one-hour float, $55, 90 minutes, 75, and 2 hours for $100, George.
Wow.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
There are several places around town that offer them.
Have you done it?
I have not. I've thought about it. I've read about it.
I would love to try it.
So you're in water?
Yes.
It looks like a tiny little tube, like an escape pod or something from a spacecraft.
A cube, and you go inside, you float because of the salinity. There's salt in the water, and then they close the doors. However it's built, they close the doors, and now you're in blackout. And there's no sound. The water is the same temperature as you. You're just floating.
It's effectively a sensory deprivation chamber.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to lose track of time and space and everything else.
And that 2 hours feels like 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
So I've heard.
Well, that's what George said. George said it wasn't.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, stepped outside his body for a minute. Bless his heart. Bless George's heart.
And some people do it just to do it. For a meditative state, other people do it as part of a full-on therapy for a number of things.
Well, if you're claustrophobic, this is not for you.
You can do a couples float.
Oh.
No. Oh.
All right.
But
simmer down.
Okay.
Really?
Story.
It's about peace and tranquility.
Is it? Then why would you do a couples float?
You're in separate tanks.
Then that's not a couples float. If you're in separate tanks, you're not coupling the float.
Self-love is the best love.
This took a turn.
I don't know why we had to make it weird.
And I blame the three of you.
I don't think anybody made it weird, but when I hear about like a couple's float, I think they've got a larger tank, and the two of you with the salinated water are floating
there
together.
I don't want anybody.
Minding your own business.
No, I don't want anybody in my tank. Get out of my tank.
It's my tank.
My tank. Mine.
How big are these tanks? Would I fit?
They're not. You would, but they're not big.
You would fit. I'm sure that you would probably sort of casually bump off the.
I feel like that would ruin my experience.
Yeah, probably,
because
like probably would. You probably hit the sides.
By four. Yeah.
I was going to say 7 by 3, but
something like that.
8 by
yeah.
4, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're long. Most of them look like a gigantic pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it feels like you're inside the bean in Chicago. You know that giant bean. That's kind of what they. That's what I always pictured. It feels like.
Well, all right.
Why is the interior always like a aqua or a blue?
Calm, zen.
Oh.
Because it fades. It goes from aqua to like dark blue to like dusk to.
So it changes
black.
Colors throughout the hour?
No. It goes to pitch black, but it gently, you know, goes dark.
It's as not, they turn the lights out. They don't just shut the door and it's pitch black immediately.
That would freak people out.
All right, quick break. 913-586-1220. 7798. Michael Mackey, Sam Stevie the Third. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ. Hey, don't forget, we're doing Festivus Friday right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39, the airing of the grievances. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
So I know that I've talked about this quite a bit on the show, about nearly keeling over dead from a stroke when that was like 15 years ago, and how I, you know, by the grace of God, when I recovered and went on to greatness on this show. But along the way, I got the chance to meet a Kansas Cityan. Her name is Angie Reed, who back in the day was a well-known PR wonk in the city and then suffered a massive stroke that took her out of commission for quite a while. And then she recovered, thank God, and then went down for the count from another stroke. And I don't want to give away your whole story, Angie, but you're joining us today because I found you to be a particularly interesting individual, because we are both stroke survivors. But you have run with this new program called Stroke Sisters. And I want you to tell our lovely listeners a little bit about your story and, more importantly, about what Stroke Sisters does here in the community.
Yeah, thanks. I had a massive stroke 2017. In the summer. I was lucky because we caught it really early. I was rushed to St. Luke's on the Plaza and they did a clot removal surgery. And because we caught it so early, I recovered physically pretty well. Mentally, it was a different story. My mental health hit rock bottom. I was in crisis mode and I didn't know what to do. I felt like my career was over. I brought myself out of that through therapy. I had to be hospitalized twice for a mental health crisis. I had sisters that pulled me out of it, really helped get me the help I needed. I was so blessed that I had people looking out for me. I did try to go back into corporate PR several times. The passion just wasn't there anymore. Like, I guess when you have a near-death experience, like you change your focus.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So I was laid off about a year and a half ago from my current marketing position. And when I got laid off, it was like the clouds parted. And I thought, okay, I'm supposed to be doing something to help other stroke survivors. I had written 4 books about my stroke survival, and I loved going and speaking to stroke support groups. So I decided to devote my life to that. I became a life coach, and I was focused on helping female stroke survivors. And in the course of coaching female stroke survivors, I realized we all have the same issues. We all suffer from the same feelings of isolation, depression. And so I started a Facebook group called Stroke Sisters, and we're currently at about 1,800 members throughout the world.
And you just unleashed a website too.
Yeah. So we're actually building an app, a digital platform, an app, because we want to take Stroke Sisters eventually off of Facebook and off of the Meta platform and be able to do more and reach more women around the world.
Well, ultimately, what's the goal here? To just help women who have suffered massive strokes sort of get their bearings?
Get your life back, to realize that you're not alone, because it's a very lonely feeling, especially if you're a woman in your 40s. I was 46 and 47 when I had mine. I thought I was the only one. So to get your life back, to get your confidence back so that you can fully recover and heal.
You said earlier that when you tried to get back or wanted to get back into PR, that the passion was, I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth a little bit, but the passion was gone. It just wasn't there anymore. Did the stroke change your personality?
It did. Yeah. In the beginning, I mean, it was crazy because it even changed my voice and my voice inflection. I lost all, I don't know what to call it, but just any inflection whatsoever. And I don't know that it really, like, altered it forever. I was able to get my personality back, but I was suffering from severe depression, severe anxiety, so I didn't know who I was back then.
Where did that come from, the depression after a stroke?
It's kind of like PTSD almost.
Is that typical?
It can be, yes. It's very, very common. It can also be chemical changes in your brain that happens when you have the stroke. So you can have depression because you're sad. Maybe you lost your physical abilities and you can't work anymore. Maybe your whole life has changed. For me, it really wasn't that. It was the brain chemistry change.
Did it affect your relationships?
You know, I was really lucky. My husband was total champ there for me, you know, all the way. My sisters, like I said, older sisters here in Kansas City, and they jumped in and just were my saviors. And there are a lot of women that don't have that. A lot of women are having strokes in the prime of their lives, like when you're still raising your kids, when you're still working, and then you're completely, you know, your life feels like it's over in an instant. And you lose your identity.
And, you know, this has been like going on 8 years and you're still super emotional about it right now because it takes away so much. And so ultimately, what do you want Stroke Sisters to do in the community? You're looking for funding. You're looking for monies, donations. How can the listeners help?
We have a Kickstarter campaign out there. So it's on Kickstarter.com. You can just look up Stroke Sisters. We're trying to raise money to help build the app and platform because I have big plans for it. It's just those kinds of things take a lot of money. And it's funny because I don't have a background in tech at all. So here's this PR girl, marketing girl trying to launch a tech app. But there are so many small business resources here in Kansas City. When you raise your hand and you say, hey, I want to build this app, I need help, you know, people come running. There are so many resources. We have a really strong small business ecosystem here. So I've got a ton of support. But yes, we're also looking for investors.
You are doing a lot of good for a lot of people, so you need to take a minute to pat yourself on the back. Mm-hmm. I was smitten with you from the first time we met, just because the stats are shocking. Like 1 in 4 women are apt over 40.
I don't have the stat on the tip of my tongue, but I think it's 1 in 5 women in your life will have a stroke.
That's nuts.
It's 1 in 5 over the age of 65.
Yeah, and under that, I mean, more and more women are having strokes in their 40s and 50s. Even there are women in my group that are even had strokes when they were like 18 or even juvenile strokes. But the hardest part when it hits you, when you're still working, still raising a family, you lose track of who you are. I mean, I guess if you were retired and you didn't have to worry about going to work. I mean, it's still an ego and identity blow. Because you might be physically able one day on top of the world, the next day you're not able to use half of your body and your brain works differently. That was the hard part for me. I thought I'd lost my intelligence. I thought I wasn't smart anymore because things were taking me longer to do. Writing was taking me longer.
As your brain rewires itself.
Yeah.
And let me correct myself if I can. You were right. It's 1 in 5 women, not necessarily over the age of 65. Women are more likely to have a stroke than men. Men are 1 in 6. 1 in 6 men will have a stroke. I didn't know it was that prevalent.
And women are disproportionately affected in a lot of different ways. Not only are we more likely to have a stroke, we're more twice as likely to go to long-term care than men after stroke. And we have an up to 70% higher risk of suicide after stroke than men.
Tell me more about this. You said you thought you lost your intelligence. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'd always prided myself on being a career woman and climbing kind of the ladder and working on my career. I was kind of a workaholic. And then when I went back, I was not able to think as quickly on my feet. And it just, you feel like your intelligence is gone when you're not as quick as you used to be, when the words don't come as easily. I still struggle sometimes finding the right words. I mean, 7.5 years out, my brain is still rewiring itself. It's a long process.
But you recognize and notice progress, do you not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it just takes time.
It just takes time.
Does it take some sort of work? I mean, do you have to do brain exercises or I'm not trying to be silly, but like Sudoku or something?
There are exercises for cognitive recovery. It's just, it's the whole, you know, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Ooh. So
amen.
Yeah. Anything that you can do to improve your memory, improve your cognition. So trying to read, a lot of people have trouble reading after a stroke. So can you listen to an audiobook while you're reading? That will help trigger some new neural connections in your brain as well. There are lots of apps out there that are cognitive game type apps that I don't know if it's Sudoku, specifically, but there are apps specifically for cognitive recovery after stroke.
Angie Reed is joining us in studio. Can you stick around for a minute? I find this fascinating.
Yeah.
And I did not realize how prevalent strokes were in human beings. One in five women mm-hmm. will have a stroke in their lifetime. One in six men will have a stroke in their lifetime.
And Angie, you didn't just have one. You suffered two.
Two.
Almost, was it back to back or what?
8 months apart.
Ugh, I can't even imagine.
You had to be just thinking to yourself, here we go again.
Just when you thought you were out of the woods. Scary stuff.
All right, Angie Reed with Stroke Sisters joining us here on Dana and Parks. By the way, before we get back to Angie, just wanted to point out, I got a nice little Valentine card from downstairs.
Oh, no.
From downstairs.
Are we doing this?
And it says
that was nice of them.
Says, I know. It says, there's no topping you. To Scott Park.
Mm.
Oh.
Park.
Do you feel love?
I do feel la.
La?
Did you just take my joke, Michael?
I totally did. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Oh, were you going to say, oh, that's on me.
Did you steal a joke?
I did.
That's not cool.
That is, what I just did is Ron.
It is Ron.
That's on me.
Definitely.
That's my.
It is not Rye.
So
it was Ron.
Just want to thank the higher ups downstairs for the Valentine to Scott Park. That's lovely. Thank you.
Hmm. Yes.
Joining us in studio is Angie Reed. She's with Stroke Sisters, and Angie had the misfortune, I would assume that you would call it a misfortune, mm-hmm. of suffering two strokes within 8 months. Michael also has had a stroke more than a decade ago.
Yep.
In a hotel room. And he's told that story many times. And I always find this fascinating. And I did not realize the numbers were so high. As we reported in the last segment, one in five women will suffer a stroke at some point in their lifetime. One in six men will suffer a stroke. I have a neighbor who, she's younger than I am. And, well, I'm kind of old, but she's in her 40s. She suffered a stroke not too long ago while she and her husband were in the car between here and Lawrence. And they raced to Lawrence Memorial Hospital and got her treatment. And she's fine. She's fine now. But I've always wondered, do you feel a stroke coming on?
You might have warning signs. I didn't feel anything coming on. I did have a migraine a few days prior, but I've always suffered migraines. And it went away. And usually what you might feel coming on is a headache. You might start vomiting. I mean, you lose your balance. You might lose your eyesight a little bit. Your part of your body becomes numb or completely paralyzed. Mine was happening as I was waking up, so I didn't notice anything. I woke up, couldn't get out of the bed, and realized something was wrong.
You can't move any part of your body? Are you almost like paralyzed?
I was paralyzed on my entire left side, and so my speech was garbled. It was...
You sound drunk.
I sounded drunk because my husband said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to get up and take a shower. And he said, are you drunk? It was 6:30 in the morning, so no, I wasn't drunk. He got up because I sounded so weird, and he turned on the light, and he said, the left side of your face looks like it's melting off. I think you're having a stroke. I'm calling 911. And I said, oh, don't call 911. I'm sure I'm fine. I'm sure I'm still half asleep.
And it's always been my understanding that you have roughly 4 hours. What is it they give you?
No, it's usually under an hour.
Under an hour?
Yeah. It's the quicker the better. I think I think I got my clot busting drug within 45 minutes.
So what happens if you have, can people have it in their sleep?
Mm-hmm. Mm,
oh yeah.
And then you're toast.
Yeah. You might, I mean, if you don't get any help, it can pass and maybe you're just left with some physical deficits or you die.
That clot busting drug that I got literally from the nanosecond it was plunged into me started to reverse the symptoms because it broke up my clot.
Is it always the left side of your body that goes paralyzed?
No.
No.
I had a right cerebral infarction, which affects the opposite side. So I'm sure yours was on the right side as well.
Yeah, my stroke was on the right side of my brain, which affected the left side of my body. But it can, I mean, you can have brainstem strokes that cause different symptoms and different effects. It's anywhere in the brain you can suffer a stroke.
This may be above both of your pay grades. Why does your face droop when you're having a stroke?
That's above my pay grade.
It is also above my pay grade, but I will say that is a common, very, very common symptom. Did not happen with me at all. I had zero. I had lost all dexterity on the left side of my body, but my face did not droop at all. So Not every stroke is different. Every stroke is dramatically different, and it affects every human differently.
But so, all right, in your case, Angie, you were basically paralyzed on the left side of your body. But did you have full strength in your right side?
Yeah, I did.
Same.
And that's how you basically dragged yourself to the lobby of a hotel.
I hopped on my good leg.
Huh.
Yeah, it's the weirdest feeling because I wasn't in any pain. It's not like I had pins and needles on my left side. It just was gone. In fact, since I was sleeping, my hand was on my stomach, and I reached over with my good hand, and I felt a hand on my stomach, a woman's hand, and I was like, who is in bed with me? Because obviously my husband, but he didn't have a woman's hand. Right. And so it was just the weirdest sensation.
Got to get to the news. Do appreciate your time. How do folks get in touch with you and learn more about the Stroke Sisters?
They can go to StrokeSisters.com. If you're on Facebook and you're a female stroke survivor, you can look up the Stroke Sisters Facebook group and join.
Okay.
And you're also looking for funding, capital, you know,
yes.
Monies.
If you're interested in investing in Stroke Sisters, we're taking this worldwide, and it's going to be huge. It's going to help women in the prime of their lives get back to some kind of life.
You
after
are doing
a stroke.
So much good.
You're doing
in the
community. Lord's work, Angie.
You are. Godspeed.
Thank you for your time. Good to see you. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes. Don't forget, in 1 hour from now, we will be doing Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. See you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.